For tapes of End Time Meetings, Deliverance Services, or Lake Hamilton Bible Campground's publication, Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom, writes Post Office Box 21516, Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas, zip 71903.
Our website is www.lakehamiltonbiblecamp.com and lhbconline.com. There are many hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.
Tuesday evening, December the 30th, 1986. Midwinter Family Camp Meeting being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Campgrounds, Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas. Tommy Cook of Tulsa, Oklahoma, is the speaker of the evening.
Go ahead and pray.
Praise you, Jesus. Father,
yes.
We come tonight, lift up Brother Tommy.
Yes,
Lord. Ask, Lord, for the anointing of the Holy Ghost to flow through him.
Oh, yes, Lord.
The word of the living God to come forth as a two-edged sword.
Yes, Lord.
As fire from his mouth, Lord.
Amen.
Burn into our hearts and into our spirits.
Yes, Lord.
The word of the Lord that we'll in turn hide it in our hearts.
Yes,
we'll
Father.
Not sin against thee, but we'll walk before
Amen.
You in holiness and righteousness.
Yes,
desiring
Lord.
To be what only you can make us by the power of the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
And now, Lord, we pray your anointing upon him tonight. We thank you for it, resting upon him and moving out unto your people.
Yes, Lord.
Amen.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise God. You can be seated. Let's turn tonight to the book of Exodus, chapter 34. Chapter 34 of the book of Exodus tonight. How many has enjoyed this camp meeting? Amen. 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 Exodus, chapter 33, not 34. Exodus chapter 33, and we want to start in verse 17. It says, And the Lord said unto Moses. Moses' name means to be drawn out. You can see it as a baby. You can see it into Pharaoh's courts and into the wilderness and leading God's people through the wilderness. And then, of course, upon Mount Nebo, where he died. And verse 17 says, The Lord said to Moses, I will do this thing also that thou hast spoken, for thou hast found grace in my sight, and I know thee by name. And he said, I beseech thee, this is Moses speaking to God, show me thy glory. Show me thy glory. And God said, All right, I'll let my goodness pass before you. I'll proclaim the name of the Lord before you, and I will be gracious to whom I will be gracious. And will show mercy on whom I will show mercy. And he said, Thou canst not see my face. And thou canst not see my face, for there shall no man see me and live. And the Lord said, Behold, there is a place by me. Thou shalt stand upon a rock. I mean, the rock represents Christ in Scripture. And it shall come to pass while my glory passes by, that I will put thee, Moses, in a cliff of the rock, and will cover thee with my hand while I pass by, and I'll take away my hand, and thou shalt see my back parts, but my face thou shalt not be seen. Now, I mean, if you're going to see God's glory, God's going to inspect you real good. Huh? And he's going to run you through his machine. Now, in chapter 34, look what he says here. In verse 2, listen to what God says to Moses. Number 1, he said, And be ready in the morning. I mean, we're facing a dawning of a new day coming, a new age coming down the road. And he said, Be ready in the morning. Now, it's a command, it's not an option. That we be ready. And notice he said, Be ready in the morning. And he said also here, to come up in the morning. I mean, it says of the 144,000, they were redeemed from. It means away from the earth. We've lived in the carnal realm too long. We've lived in the death realm too long. It's time to set our affections on things above and not on things on the earth. How do you know that scripture? Colossians chapter 3. But be ready in the morning and come up in the morning unto the Mount Sinai. And notice what else God said. Number 3, present thyself there to me. Hallelujah. God's going to check us out. He's going to look us over. Number 4, verse 3. And no man shall come up with thee. Of course, Moses was alone there. Now, I believe God's taking a people unto himself. But how many know individually we are responsible to seek the Lord and search find the Lord and to study and to pray and to cry to God ourselves? Nobody can do it for us. I mean, we can pray one for another, but we are responsible individually of seeking our God. Isn't that right? No man shall come up with thee. Neither, then the final thing he said, neither let any man be seen. I believe in this hour, Jesus must be seen. Hallelujah. How many believe that? We need to exalt Jesus. We need to cause people's attention to be drawn to Jesus. But he said, no man shall be seen throughout all the mount. So we have an exhortation now. Now let's look at the first thing. He said what? Be ready. When? In the morning. Be ready in the morning. Now turn to Matthew chapter 25. Matthew chapter 25. Hallelujah. How many believe that the Lord has the first fruit company coming forth? In his image, in his likeness. In Matthew 25, verse 6. And I've said this here before, but I want to say it again. Jesus talks about the five wise and the five what? Foolish. Those that were blockheads or stupid because they didn't do what they were supposed to do. How many know we can be blockheads? If we don't get filled with the oil and stay filled with the Holy Spirit. Amen? Now, five wise, five foolish. Five's the number of what? Grace, and five's the number of the ministry. At the end of the age, there is a foolish ministry and there is a wise ministry. I don't want to be a foolish minister, do you? I want to be wise. One that builds our house on the rock, but yet one that's filled with the Holy Spirit and maintains that flow, maintains that relationship with Jesus. Hallelujah, daily in our heart. Now, before we read this, turn to Luke a minute. Luke chapter 11, I believe it's 11. Or maybe it's 12. Let's see here. Chapter 11. I want to show you we have to have something else besides oil. When? At midnight. Midnight is tribulation. Hallelujah. It's a dark hour. It's a time between 2 days, or we would say 2 ages, I suppose. Now, in chapter 11 of Luke, notice in verse 5, Jesus, our Lord, is speaking. He said to them, which of you shall have a friend? I mean, he's the greatest friend we can have. And shall go unto him when? At midnight. And say to him, friend, lend me 3 loaves. 3 loaves. Spirit, come on. Soul, body, 30, 60, 100. We're going to have the 3 loaves. At midnight. For a friend of mine in his journey has come to me. I have nothing set before him. And he from within shall answer and say, trouble me not. The door is now shut. I mean, God shut Noah in 7 days before the flood. And here the door is shut. And, God, and the Lord says, trouble me not. The door is shut. My children, look at this, are with me in bed. I cannot rise and give thee. Now there was somebody knocking, and yet there was somebody in bed. In bed, that speaks of a place of rest and intimacy at midnight. Now many are in bed with the world or with the harlot, but we need his rest. We need to be with him. Amen? At midnight. Praise the Lord. And of course, he rises later and gives him as much bread as he needs. All right, let's go back to Matthew 25. Now, verse 6. And at midnight there was a cry made. I believe God's trumpets are blowing. Amen? I believe God's warnings are coming. As Steve said this morning, that God is speaking some things. It's just that we're not always hearing correctly. Amen? There is a famine in the land for hearing the word of the Lord. It's not that it's not being presented in certain places. And here, Jesus said, at midnight there was the cry made, behold, the bridegroom cometh. Hallelujah. How many know he's being revealed as a bride, as the bridegroom, but yet he's coming as what? King of kings and Lord of lords. And what does the bridegroom want? He wants his what?
Bride.
But he said, behold, the bridegroom cometh. Go you out to what? Meet him. But if you go out to meet him, you've got to be full of oil and full of bread. Amen. You've got to be ready and prepared. Amen. Preparation speaks of being, of being ready speaks of preparation. Verse 7, then all those virgins, that's all of them, that was 10 of them, arose and trimmed the lamps. And the foolish said to the wise, give us of your oil, for our lamps are gone out. Now, I don't know what the Greek says, but the margin says are going out. Hallelujah. We can lose the oil. We can leak. We can stop our communication and our fellowship with the Lord. Isn't that right? Because we get too busy. But the wise answered and said, not so, lest there be not enough for us and you. Go you rather to them that sell and buy for yourselves. Hallelujah. Verse 10. And while they went to buy, the bridegroom came, and they that were something, what?
Ready.
Now, Moses was told to come up in the, to be ready in the morning. And here it says, and they that were ready, which shows me there's going to be some not going to be ready at this time. Amen. Went in with him to the marriage, and the door was shut. Hallelujah. I believe personally, it's my own opinion, you take it or leave it, it's first fruits we're dealing with. Hallelujah. There is a people ready. There is a people prepared. Now turn to Revelation 14 a minute. I know we look at this scripture just about every time I come, but that's all right. I'll preach it every time if the Lord wants me to. I love it. Hallelujah. Now it says that these 144,000 are where? They're before, they're with the Lamb, but they're before the throne. In chapter 12, verse 5, they're caught up to the throne, to God and His throne. How many know God is a spirit? Is that right? God is, of course, love. He's light. He's light. He's a consuming fire and all those things. But here it says these were around the throne. They were redeemed in verse 3 from the earth or away from the earth. Now, so they're caught up to the throne. Now, what happens next? Look in verse 6. John said there is an everlasting gospel that's going to be proclaimed on the earth. How many know for that to happen, it takes a great outpouring of the Holy Ghost? Huh? How many believe revival's coming to the world and to the nations? It's sure quiet in here tonight. How many believe that?
Amen.
Amen. And to every nation and kindred and tongue and people. Hallelujah. Now, in verse 8, he says, Babylon is fallen. I'm not going into that tonight. How many know God's going to bring Babylon down, whether it be religious or political or whatever it is? And then in verse 9 and 10 and 11, he talks about the judgment upon those who receive the mark of the beast. And I won't go into that tonight. But in verse 12, here's the patience of the saints. Here's the endurance of the people of God. And they, those that what? Keep the commandments of God, and they have the faith of Jesus. You know, we hear a lot about faith today, but we don't hear much about the faith of Jesus. Amen? Now, verse 13, he said, blessed are the dead which die in the Lord from henceforth, yea, saith the Spirit, that they may rest from their labors and their works do follow them. There's going to be some people that will die. Amen? And I don't mean just die to ourselves, but literally lay their life down. There are people tonight dying for the cause of Christ. But I'm looking in the hour ahead that's coming down the road. All right, verse 14. Hallelujah. Here's the harvest. I looked. There are three reapings in this chapter. The 144,000 taken to the throne. Now, here's the second one right here. I looked and behold, what? A white cloud. And upon the cloud, one set like the Son of Man, having on his head a golden crown, and in his hand a sharp sickle. And another angel came out of the temple crying with a loud voice to him that sat on the cloud, thrust in thy sickle, and reap, for the time has come for thee to reap, for the harvest of the earth is what? Ripe. Glory to God. And he that sat on the cloud thrust in his sickle on the earth, and the earth was reaped. Amen. Turn to Revelation 17. If you read on down, there's another reaping of the wicked. But turn to Revelation 15. Let me give you two scriptures here. Revelation 15, verse 1 and 2. And I saw another sign in heaven, great and marvelous, seven angels having the seven last plagues. For in them is filled up the what? The wrath of God. God has not appointed you and I to wrath. But he never said we would not face tribulation. Next verse. And I saw as it were a sea of glass mingled with fire, and them that had done something, gotten the victory, those that had overcome the what? The beast, his image, his mark, and over the number of his name, standing on the sea of glass, having the harps of God. Turn to chapter 7. Revelation 7. Revelation 7. In Revelation 7, again, he speaks of 144,000. And in, you remember in chapter 14, there was 144,000 redeemed from the earth, and then we saw the harvest of the earth. Isn't that right? In chapter 7, again, he speaks of this 144,000. Then in verse 9, John said, after this, I beheld, and lo, a great multitude, which no man could number, of all nations and kindreds and people and tongues. What happened? There was standing before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed, hallelujah, with robes and palms in their hands. And they're crying with a loud voice, saying, salvation to our God, which sits upon the throne, and to the Lamb. Now, look down in verse 13. One of the elders answered and said to me, what are these that are arrayed in white robes? And whence came they? And I said to him, sir, thou knowest. And he said to me, these are they which came out of great tribulation. You can't come out unless you've been in great tribulation, or tribulation the great, or the great affliction, trouble, whatever, have washed their robes, made them white in the blood of the Lamb. Hallelujah. Therefore, are they before what? Now watch this. They're before what? And serve him day and what? How many know there's no night where he's at? Where's night at? Right here on the earth. Now, you say, are you against heaven? No, I believe in heaven. Hallelujah. But they're serving him day and night. I believe there's going to be a people who have access to that side of the veil and this side in God's time. I believe in heaven. I believe it's a real place. I've never been there. I've never seen it in a vision like some have. And I wonder about some of the visions I've heard. I believe the book. And he that sits on the throne shall dwell among them. They shall hunger no more, neither thirst any more. That can be natural, but also spiritually. Neither shall the sunlight on them or any heat. Now, where did it come out of? Out of what? I mean, that's fire. That's testing. That's heat. They have been purged. And God said, no more heat. No more heat. Well, the Lamb which is in the midst of the throne shall shepherd them, shall lead them into living fountains of waters. And that is the body of Christ, because there's a fountain in each one of us tonight. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. Hallelujah. So, we're exhorted back in Matthew 25. The bridegroom's coming. Go you out to meet him. Amen. Now, turn back to Matthew 24. Matthew 24. And here's a scripture that we could preach on for quite a while here, but I won't go into it tonight. But in verse, let's start with verse 42 of Matthew 24. We're talking about being ready in the morning. Watch therefore, verse 42 of chapter 24 of Matthew. For you know not what hour your Lord doth come. You know, I believe many have lost the closeness of the coming of Jesus. But I believe it's not too far away. How about you? But I believe he must come in us and get us prepared for that literal return. How about you? But I do believe it's close. Next verse. But know this, that if the good man of the house had known in what watch the thief would come, he would have watched and would not have suffered his house to be broken up. How many know when a thief comes, he never knocks on your door and says, I'm a thief, I'm coming in. No, he comes when you do not expect him. And he comes to get what he can, especially that which is valuable. Jesus is not a thief, but his coming is as a thief, which means he's coming in an hour that you don't expect him. How many know he's got his jewels? He's coming back to Malachi, I talked about that. Hallelujah. Praise God. I believe personally there's going to be something happen in the church, possibly with the First Fruit Company, that's going to show most of the church that they have missed God's best. And I won't elaborate anymore. Verse 44. Therefore, be you also what? Ready. For in such an hour as you, brethren, think not the Son of Man is coming. Hallelujah. Glory to God. He's coming. When? In an hour that you think not. Turn to Revelation 19, verse 7 through 9 in the Scripture. Revelation 19, verse 7. Notice what John says in verse 7. Let us be glad and rejoice. I'm like Brother Tromley. I believe there's going to be a lot of rejoicing in heaven. But God wants some here on the earth, doesn't he? Let us be glad and rejoice and give honor to him, for the marriage of the Lamb has come, and his wife, hallelujah. No wife that's getting married is going to come to her wedding half dressed, her hair sloppy, and one shoe on, one shoe off, and the dress ripped down to her knees. She's coming prepared to meet her bridegroom. Amen? And right here he said, for the marriage of the Lamb has come, and his wife hath made herself ready. And to her was granted that she should be arrayed in fine linen, clean and white. I believe that's the linen of the overcomers. For the fine linen is the righteousness of saints. And he said to me, write, blessed are they which are called to the marriage supper of the Lamb. And he said to me, these are the true sayings of God. Praise the Lord. I mean, know that a bride is not there's no invitation to her own wedding. She helps sends out the invitations. Isn't that right? Now, I don't know if I'm right on this, but right here, notice what it says. It says, the wife has made herself ready. And then in verse 9, he said, right, blessed are also those that are called to the marriage supper of the Lamb. Turn back to Psalms 45 a minute. Psalms 45. Let's go there just a second. Hallelujah. Psalms 45. In verse 9, it says, the king's daughters were among the honorable women. Upon thy right hand did stand the queen in gold of Ophir. Verse 11, so shall the king greatly desire thy beauty, for he is thy Lord. Worship thou him. Verse 13, the king's daughter is all glorious where?
Within.
With his nature. With his character. With his life. And her clothing is of wrought gold. I mean, we need his gold. We need to buy his gold tried in the fire. So shall be brought unto the king. She shall be brought unto the king, excuse me, in raiment of needlework. I mean, there's a ministry that will stick you. And you use a needle with your hand. The hand speaks of apostles. Come on. Prophets, teachers, shepherds, and evangelists. Can you say amen?
Amen?
You cannot be perfected without those precious ministries. And here it said that she shall be brought to the king in raiment of needlework. And notice also what it says, and the virgins, also her companions, somebody else, that follow her, shall be brought unto thee also. What am I saying? I see two groups in Scripture. I see the first fruits, I see the harvest. And there I see two. And many, I could show you many scriptures on that. But I won't go into it tonight. All right. Now, turn to Ruth. Ruth. In the Word of God. Ruth. Hallelujah. How many have ever read the book of Ruth? Oh, I love this book. It's a tremendous Word of God. I'm not going to I'd like to preach that. In fact, I wanted to preach some of it tonight, but I can't. But I, chapter 1 at least. But I want us to go to chapter... let me just show you something before we look at the scripture I want to show you. Look in chapter 2. Ruth is gleaning in the field of Boaz, who's a type of Jesus. How many know in scripture there's a man? Come on. There's a maid. And there's a man-child in many scriptures. How many know that's Bible? Think of Sarah and Abraham and Isaac and many others. All right. Verse 17, it said, "So she gleaned in the field until evening and beat out that which she had gleaned. And it was about an ephah of barley." One ephah. Now turn over to verse 15. And you'll notice she's also given six measures of barley. One and six makes seven. What's seven? It's perfection. Maturity, I guess we'd say. Now, look in chapter 3 and verse 1, or what? First five verses. Then Naomi. Naomi means my pleasant one. Then Naomi, her mother-in-law, said to her, "My daughter, shall I not seek rest for thee, that it may be well with thee? And now is not Boaz of our kindred, with whose maidens thou wast? Behold, he winnoweth barley tonight in the threshing floor." Now look at verse 3. We're talking about being ready in the morning, right? Here's readiness. Number 1, she said, "Wash thyself therefore." How many believe we must be sanctified? How are we sanctified? By the blood of Jesus. By the Word of God. By the name of Jesus. By the death on Calvary. By faith. There are several ways we're sanctified. By the power of the Holy Ghost. "Wash thyself therefore and too, and anoint thee." Be anointed. Anoint your eyes with eyes, as Jesus told Laodicea, didn't he? And 3, "Put thy raiment upon thee, and get thee down to the floor, and make not thyself known unto the man until he shall have done eating and drinking." Now look at verse 4. "And it shall be when he lies down that thou shalt mark," or what? "Know the place." Did you know he's preparing a place for us? Amen. Boy, what a message that is. He said, "You'll mark the place where he shall lie, and thou shalt go in and uncover his feet and lay thee down. He will tell thee what thou shalt do." You know what time it is? Midnight. Midnight. Huh? I mean, all the scripture. Now look at verse 5. Here's what Ruth is telling Naomi. "And she said to her, all that thou sayest to me, I will do." Naomi right here is a type of the Holy Spirit in verse 5. And Ruth said, "All that you tell me, I'll do it." I mean, God wants us to be obedient to the Holy Ghost. Who's the Holy Ghost going to lead you to? Jesus. Look at verse 8. "It came to pass at midnight." The man was afraid. There's a woman laying at his feet. And verse 9, she said, "I am Ruth thine handmaid. Spread therefore thy skirt over thine handmaid, for thou art a near kinsman." Hallelujah. Spread your mantle over me at midnight. Amen. Now, he tells her that the latter end of her kindness is better than the beginning. Verse 10. Verse 11, he tells her she's a virtuous woman. You could preach Proverbs 31 there, which is the type of the church. And she lay until morning, and then he gave her six measures in verse 15. But look at verse 17. He said, "These six measures of barley gave he me," she said, "for he said to me, go not empty unto thy mother-in-law." Why does God want to perfect the people? Why does God want to give a people a double portion? Why does God want to give a people the birthright so that they can give out to others? Amen? It's not just for ourselves. It is for others. Can you say amen?
Amen.
Amen. Praise the Lord. All right. So, Moses said, "Come up in the morning." The second thing he said, "Be ready." Then he said, "Come up in the morning." Now, let's turn to the book of Joshua, chapter 3. And let's look at something that happened in the morning. Joshua chapter 3. I had another message tonight. And I was going to preach on the beast tonight, or on the Antichrist, man of sin. But I felt, after Brother Tromley ministered today, that the Lord changed it. So I went in the room and and wrote a few of these scriptures down. In Joshua chapter 3, that's why we need to hear other brethren. I mean, no one individual has it all, brethren. We have a portion. We need to hear others. We need to hear the whole counsel of God through God's servants. Amen?
Amen?
Now, here in chapter 3 of Joshua, notice verse 1. And Joshua rose, went early in the morning. Remember what God said, be ready in the morning and come up in the morning. Moses. Be ready. He rose early in the morning, and they removed from Shittim and came to Jordan. Jordan, I know it means descending, but it means spreading of judgment, another meaning for. He and all the children of Israel and lodged there before they passed over. Now, they came to Jordan, and for, how many know it was at flood stage? It was in the time of harvest, and in the natural, there was no way they could cross Jordan. It was a helpless, hopeless situation, and I can hear some of them saying, let's build some boats and go. Hallelujah. How many know we don't really know how the two spies got over? The Bible didn't tell us how, unless, if you know, I want you to tell me and show me in the Scripture. I'll be open to see it. But I believe it must have been some kind of miracle. They got over there. The two spies went over. Remember that? But here's the people right at Jordan, and it's a helpless situation. They're looking at that Jordan River, and in the natural, there's no way they can cross it. Now look at verse 3. They commanded the people, saying, when you see the Ark of the Covenant, so their eye was to be upon the... And you know the Ark represents Jesus. And then they were to follow the Ark. That's why, again, it says of the 144,000, they follow the Lamb whithersoever that He goeth. Amen? And again, you can't follow the Lamb without a cross and without being led of the Holy Spirit. Isn't that right? Hallelujah. Now, what else did He say? When you see the Ark of the Covenant, verse 3, and of the Lord your God and the priests and the Levites bearing it, then you shall remove from your place. We're going to leave our place and go to His. Go after it. Follow that ark. Yet, he said, there shall be a space between you and it. How long? How far? 2,000 cubits. Now, I believe that was literally 2,000 cubits. But how many know 2,000 years ago, the true ark went before us. The forerunner. The forerunner went before us. He said, come not near it, that you may know the way by which you must go. For you have not passed this way. Hitherto. Verse 5. And Joshua said to the people, sanctify yourselves, for tomorrow the Lord will do wonders among you. When's He going to do it? When you're sanctified. When you're clean. When you're set apart. When you're holy. When you're walking in holiness. Hallelujah. I don't believe we've seen any miracles compared to what's coming. I believe there's a revival coming, brethren. Brothers, it'll be the greatest of all time. But I believe it's going to be a people that walk in are going to be a people that's whole and clean before God. Verse 6, and Joshua spake to the priest, saying, take up the Ark of the Covenant and pass over before the people. And they took up the Ark of the Covenant and went before the people. So keep your eye on the Ark. Follow it. Be sanctified. And they're all going to go over together. Amen. And there's going to be the rending of the Jordan, which is a type of the rending of the veil. They're going to cross from east to west. From the holy place to the holy of holies. Hallelujah. Amen. All right. Let's go a little further tonight. Turn with me to, let's go further. The third thing. Let's go back to Exodus. Let's go back to Exodus where we were. 34. The third point, God said, is to present yourself there to me. And then He said, no man shall come up with thee, neither let any man be seen. Now, I want to turn to, I should minister on those last two points, but I want to turn to Exodus 19. Let's turn there now. Exodus 19. Exodus 19. Here again, we see Moses going to ascend up in God. Now, before I read that, I want to read a scripture in the book of Revelation, chapter 1, and then chapter 4. In Revelation 1, it says in verse 9, John said, I, John, your brother and companion and sharer and participator with you in the tribulation and kingdom, and patience, endurance, which are in Jesus Christ, was on the isle which is called Patmos, banished, on account of in my witnessing to the Word of God and the testimony, the proof of the evidence for Jesus Christ. Then he said this, and I like to amplify it. He said, I was in the Spirit, wrapped, R-A-P-T, wrapped in His power on the Lord's day, and that's not Saturday or Sunday. And I heard behind me a great voice, like the calling of a war trumpet. War trumpet. How many know God's people's going to war? Now, that word wrapped, I looked it up in the dictionary. It means to be lifted as by a supernatural force. And I'm thinking that John's body's on the earth, and yet he's moving in the heavenlies in God. Transported as in spirit to another place. Transported with love and delight. It means enraptured, or wholly absorbed, or engrossed, as in feeling or meditation, or to be seized. Now, chapter 4 in the King James. Let's look there in Revelation chapter 4. And we'll come back to Exodus here in just a second. But in Revelation 4, let's see what John was told. In chapter 4, verse 1. I believe John is a type of the overcomers being caught up to the throne. How about you? In fact, I believe we're going to be taken like Paul was caught up. He said, whether in the body or out of the body, he did not know. Who would care? I mean, who would care if that happened to you tonight? No, it wouldn't matter. You know God's in control. Isn't that right? Hallelujah. But chapter 4, of verse 1, after this I looked, and behold, a door was open in heaven, and the first voice which I heard was as it were of a trumpet. And you know, a trumpet speaks of a message. Turn back to Revelation 1. I'll show it to you if you don't know. Back in chapter 1, look in verse, back in verse 10, he said, I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day, heard behind me a great voice as of a trumpet, saying, I'm Alpha and Omega. You never heard a natural trumpet talking, have you? Of course, they sound pretty. Now, in chapter 4, verse 1, he said, this trumpet was talking with me, which said, come up hither. Come up higher. How many want to go up tonight? Amen. In Him now. I'm talking about in the Spirit. Now, come up hither, and I will show thee things which must be hereafter or in the future. And immediately John said, I was in the Spirit, and behold, there was a throne. Praise the Lord. How many know it would be possible in God to be standing here, and the next 5 minutes I could be before the throne? It could happen that quick, brother. Hallelujah. And I don't understand all about it. I just like to experience it. Amen. Amen. But it can happen. Now, let's go back to Exodus 19. God has taken us up higher. Chapter 19 of Exodus. Verse 10. And the Lord said to Moses, go unto the people, Moses, and do something again. Sanctify them today and tomorrow, and let them wash their clothes. Make sure their clothes are clean. Sanctify them. Make sure they're set apart. Holy, clean, whatever. And verse 11, and what?
Be ready.
Be ready. Be ready. Again, it's a command, brethren. Against the third day. How many know it's actually to us spiritually from the seventh day? I mean, it's seventh day from Adam to the end, but it's third day from the time Jesus come to the end, taking a day as 1,000 years. Amen. And 1,000 years as a day. Isn't that right? Praise the Lord. How many know on the first day, Adam didn't quite live a day. He lived 900 and some years. And God made a distinction between Abel and Cain. One was of God, one was of the wicked one. Isn't that right? And yet he made a distinction between Satan's seed and the Christ seed. Hallelujah. And then the second day, Noah, some say Enoch. Noah, there was a distinction between the righteous and the wicked. True seed was in Adam. The true seed was in Noah and his family. Comes right on down. Then Abraham, God made a distinction between Ishmael and Isaac. And in the fourth day, at the end of the fourth day, Jesus, the true seed, came, the Son of the living God. Born at Pentecost, and the sixth day we're living in. And we know back in creation on the sixth day, there were two things made that I remembered right now. The beast and man. And we see the beast system arising in the earth, and yet God's raising up a man, isn't he? A corporate man, one new man, or a man-child. And the seventh day, of course, will be God's rest. Hallelujah. God wants to bring you and I into that rest, doesn't he? We shared that the other day. All right, now, Exodus 19, he said, verse 11, be ready against the third day. For the third day, the Lord will come down in the sight of all the people upon Mount Sinai. I believe when Jesus literally comes out there, the world will know it. Hallelujah. It's not going to be some secret thing. Verse 14. And Moses went down from the mount to the people and sanctified the people. They washed their clothes. Verse 15, he said to the people, be ready against the third day. Now, I could preach another hour on the third day. Come not at your wise. Verse 16, it came to pass on the third day in the morning that there were thunders and lightnings and a thick cloud upon the mount, and the voice of the trumpet exceedingly loud. I believe the closer we get to this, there are more going to begin to hear that trumpet, and it's going to get louder and louder. Amen. The message is going to become more clear. We're going to hear better than we heard before. So that all the people that was in the camp trembled. Hallelujah. Verse 20. And the Lord came down upon the Mount Sinai on the top of the mount. And the Lord called Moses up to the top of the mount. And Moses went up. God's calling us up tonight in the Spirit. Hallelujah. How many know there's going to be a meeting in the air? Amen. That's what the Scripture says. I know air doesn't go up very high. I don't know all about that. I've never heard anybody that knew all about it. But I know the Scripture says we'll be called up to meet the Lord in the air. And I could teach on air. I've taught on, I've studied a lot, and I don't want to get into that tonight, but it's what the Scripture says. Let's stay with the Scripture. All right, now, let's go to Exodus 24. Exodus 24, verse 10. Here's Moses going up again. It's talking about Aaron, Nadab, Abihu, and the 70 elders of Israel. There's a 30, 60, 100 fold here in this chapter. They go up, so the 70 elders go up so high. Joshua goes up so high, and then Moses goes up to the top into the cloud. And we can see a threefold principle here. In verse 10, they saw the God of Israel, and there was under his feet. Now there's the message right there. As it were a paved work of sapphire stone, and as it were the body of heaven in its clearness. And upon the nobles of the children of Israel he laid not his hand. Also they saw God and did eat and drink, had fellowship with God. The Lord said to Moses, come up to me in the mount and be there. And I will give thee tables of stones. All right. Verse 13, Moses rose up his minister Joshua, and Moses went up to the mount of God. And he said to the elders, tarry you here for us until we come again to you. And behold, Aaron and Hur are with you. If any man have any matters, let them come unto them. And verse 15, Moses went up into the mount, and a cloud covered the mount. And the glory of the Lord abode upon Mount Sinai, and the cloud covered it. How many days? Six is the number of men. Now, Moses could not enter into the cloud until after 6 days. How many know there takes some waiting on God to really hear God? Amen? You're not just going to run up on your own, are you? And so he waited 6 days. And notice the what day? Seventh day. We're approaching the seventh day from Adam, aren't we? In this hour. Is that right? The seventh day he called unto Moses out of the midst of the cloud. And in the sight of the glory of the Lord was like devouring fire upon the top of the mount in the eyes of the children of Israel. And Moses went into the midst of the cloud and gat him up in the mount. And Moses was in the mount 40 days and 40 nights. Hallelujah. So God is calling us up. Now, turn to Matthew 17. We see two groups, really, in this chapter. We see a remnant. The remnant's on top of the mountain. Where's the other nine? They're at the body trying to cast the spirit out of a person. But because of unbelief, they can't get it out. Isn't that right? In chapter 17, notice the phrase. Now, I'm ministering from King James, not from. I don't know what other translations say, because I don't read that many, although I have a lot of them. I've just learned to study King James. Everybody's got their own translation they like to use, and I thank God for that. But in chapter 17, verse 1, Jesus said, after how many days? 6 days. After 6 days. What comes after six? Seven. Actually, Luke said it's about 8 days. Well, what's about eight? Seven. We're talking about the seventh day, aren't we? Or the third day from Jesus, seventh day from Adam. Okay. Spiritually, I'm talking about. And after 6 days, Jesus takes Peter, James, and John, his brother, and brings them up into a high mountain apart. Now, that was a natural mountain. And was transfigured, or transformed, changed before them. His face did shine as the sun. How many know John talked about that in Revelation? His face shining like the sun. And his raiment was white as the light. Now, so there are three here. There's a remnant with Jesus on the mount. There are nine below. Now, turn over to chapter 13 a minute of Matthew. Matthew 13, 43. Listen to what Jesus said to us. Then shall the righteous shine forth as the what?
Sun.
Now, Jesus' face shone as the sun. Then shall the righteous shine as the sun in the kingdom of their Father, who hath ears to hear, let him hear. Hallelujah. I believe there's a people going to have an experience as Jesus had here. Because their face will shine. Because of the glory of God. What did Moses ask? Lord, show me your glory. And there's a people going to behold his glory. Amen. Turn to 2 Corinthians 12. 2 Corinthians 12. Thank you, Lord. Paul said, it is not expedient for me doubtless to glory. I will come to visions and revelations of the Lord. How many know there's a price to pay for that? Amen. He said, I knew a man in Christ about 14 years ago, whether in the body I cannot tell, or whether out of the body I cannot tell. God knoweth. Such an one caught up to the third heaven. And I knew such a man, whether in the body or out of the body, I cannot tell. God knoweth. How that he was caught up into paradise and heard unspeakable words which is not lawful for a man to utter. Now look at verse 5 and 6. Of such a one will I glory, yet of myself I will not glory, but in mine infirmities. For though I would desire to glory. How many know there's a nature in us that would like to take the glory? It's the beast. I'll never forget when God woke me up one night in the middle of the night and showed me that, just like a flash. For though I would desire to glory, I shall not be a fool. For I will say the truth, but now I forbear, lest any man should think of me above that which he sees me to be, or that he hears of me, and lest I should be exalted, what? Above measure. Through the abundance. Here it is. Here's the reason. Of the revelations that was given. You don't have to pray for this. It's coming anyway. I've heard all kind of teaching on the thorn. I'm sure I'm not going into that tonight. But everybody's got their own idea. But how many know it was something that pricked his flesh? You know, I don't mean just in this natural flesh, but I mean there was trouble for Paul. Lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelations, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan, to buffet me lest I should be exalted above measure. That was God's balancing factor. It kept Paul down. Can you say amen? Now, I want to show you something just a minute on the beast tonight. Turn to Luke 13. I'm just going to show you one little thing here. I'm sure not going to get on too heavy on this tonight, but I want to show you a few things. In Luke 13, in the Word of God, I think I'll use my other Bible here. Luke 13. Now, let's look at verse 10, I believe it is. Yes, Jesus is teaching in the synagogue here on the Sabbath day. Now, first the natural, then the Jesus ministered many times on the natural Sabbath, didn't he? And it's a type that will happen in the millennium that's coming, I believe. Do you believe that? All right. Now, verse 11, behold, there was a woman which had a spirit of infirmity. How long? 18 years. 6, 6, 6. And it was bowed together and could in no wise lift up herself. She had no heavenly vision. All she could see was the earth. I mean, there's a lot of Christians that live on the earth plane. Now, and when Jesus saw her, because he went around looking for people that was hurting, he called her to him and he said to her, woman, thou art loosed from thine infirmity. And of course, when he spoke that spirit left, we know that. And then there was healing. He laid his hands on her. Immediately she was made straight and glorified God. And the ruler of the synagogue, how many believe that he called things which be not as though they were? But he heard from the Father, didn't he? Verse 14. Now notice, the ruler of the synagogue answered with indignation because that Jesus had healed on the Sabbath day and said to the people, there are 6 days in which men ought to work in them, therefore come and be healed, not on the Sabbath. The Lord then answered him and said, thou hypocrite, doth not each one of you on the Sabbath lose his ox or his ass from the stall and lead him away to watering? Ought not this woman, being a daughter of who? Amen. Whom Satan hath bound, not my heavenly Father. Lo, these 18 years be loosed from this bond on the Sabbath day. And when he said these things, all his adversaries were ashamed. And notice what else it says. All the people rejoiced for all the glorious things that were done by him. Now, number one, where was Jesus? He was in the temple, right? In the temple was a bound woman, type of the church. Now, she was just a lady, but she's a type of the church, bound over, sick, infirmities. How many know the church is full of it? Number two, there was a blind ruler in the temple, the ruler over the temple. And number three, there was a blessed deliverer. His name was Jesus in that same temple. She's a type of the church. The blind ruler is a type of the beast in us. Of course, he was a man. And Jesus was the deliverer. Now, Jesus did two things on the Sabbath right here. He rebuked the blind ruler. And he healed the bound woman. Amen? Did you hear what I said? He rebuked the blind ruler. He healed the bound woman. Now, you see those three things in the book of Samuel. There was a bound woman. Her name was Hannah. She couldn't bear children. There was a blind ruler. His name was Eli. But there was also a deliverer that God raised up, a man-child. His name was Samuel. Amen? Hallelujah. The blind ruler of our soul will agree with the adversary every time unless it's changed, saved, renewed, delivered, whatever. Now, I believe at the end of the age, there's a woman that God wants to heal and deliver. Amen? Hallelujah. The church. The blind ruler, again, has got to be rebuked in you and me. That's the beast. But the blessed deliverer will be Christ, hear me now, in a man-child people. Who will bring deliverance. Now turn to Obadiah. Obadiah. Somebody said, where's that? That's in the Old Testament. Obadiah. Page 1355. Obadiah. One little chapter. Verse 17. Listen to what God said. But upon Mount Zion, where are the 144,000 in Revelation? On Mount Zion, they're with the Lamb. And here it says, but upon Mount Zion shall be, number one, deliverance. And two, there shall be holiness. And the house of Jacob shall possess their possessions. It's not enough to enter our inheritance or just conquer it. We've also got to possess it. Amen? How many know that's warfare? And also deliverance, holiness, and all this. Remission. Verse 18. And the house of Jacob shall be a fire, and the house of Joseph a flame, and the house of the flesh, Esau. For what? Stubble. And you'll see in Malachi that God's going to set his fire to the stubble, isn't he? How many know God said, I hate Esau, but I love Jacob? God hates the flesh. They shall kindle in them and devour them, and there shall not be any remaining of the house of Esau, for the Lord has spoken it. Verse 21 now. Look at verse 21. And saviors, the word saviors means deliverers, shall come up on Mount Zion. What for? To judge. Did you hear that? To judge what? The man of Esau, the flesh. Well, how many know we can't judge anybody unless we judge ourselves? Isn't that right? Turn with me to Zephaniah. I want to show you this in Zephaniah. Zechariah. Zechariah. The Lord gave me a lot of things on this recently, but I just want to share a couple of things here. How many of you are going towards the Holy of Holies? You have an adversary. Oh, yes, you do. In chapter 3, verse 1 of Zechariah, but thank God greater is he that's in us than he that's in what? The world. He showed me Joshua, the high priest, standing before the angel of the Lord, and Satan standing at his right hand to resist him. And the Lord said to Satan, the Lord rebuke thee, O Satan, even the Lord that hath chosen somebody. I mean, O Jerusalem's the church today to us. Amen? He said he hath chosen Jerusalem. I know that's in the natural, but I'm looking in the spirit realm. Rebuke thee, is not this a brand plucked out of the fire? And you can read Jude 23 with that scripture. Now Joshua was clothed with what? Filthy garments and stood before the angel. How many know we've all had some filthy garments on? Amen. Put off the old and put on the new. It's a process, isn't it? Verse 4. He answered and spake to those that stood before him, saying, now notice, here's the ministry he's speaking to. Take away the filthy garments from him. And unto him he said, behold, I have caused thine iniquity to pass from thee, and I will clothe thee with changes of raiment. Now notice he said, I will do it. But notice the order here. And I said, let them set a fair mitre upon his head. That speaks of the mind of Christ. We saw that in Exodus the other day when we was teaching on the ceiling. Three ceilings. One in the breast, one on the shoulders, and one in the forehead. You remember that? On the mitre it says, holiness to the Lord. It was on blue lace, which speaks of the heavens. So they set a fair mitre upon his head and clothed him with garments. When did they clothe him? When they set the mitre upon his head. And the angel of the Lord stood by, and the angel of the Lord protested to Joshua, saying, thus saith the Lord of hosts, if thou wilt walk in my ways, if thou wilt keep my charge, then thou shalt also what, brethren? When are we going to judge his house? By receiving the mitre, the mind of Christ, by being clothed, walking in his ways, keeping his charge. And God said, then you can judge my house. It'll be righteous judgment, won't it? Hallelujah. Well, there's a lot more in that. Now, I feel tonight to close with Luke 10. I want us to turn there. I haven't finished everything I probably should have said, but I want us to go and I want to finish tonight in Luke chapter 10, because we're talking about the clothing and the garments here. And I know people can look at some of these scriptures differently. I believe it's Mark 10. Luke 10. I believe this can be a type of maybe you're born again experience, but I'm looking from a Christian standpoint more than a sinner. Although people teach it two ways. Chapter 10, verse 30. Jesus answered and said, a certain man went where? He went down from Jerusalem, from the city of peace, from the presence of God to Jericho, and fell among thieves. How many has ever seen people placed by God and they get up and leave that place and they get hit? That's what you really see in the book of Ruth. Amalek took his family down into Moab and God didn't tell him to go. You know what Amalek means? My God is king. The last scripture of Judges right before you get to Ruth said every man did that which is right in his own eyes. You know why? Because there was no king. Amen? But Amalek means my God is king. And yet, he takes his family to Moab and God didn't tell him. And God begins to strip away. How many know we can leave the will of God, brother? And right here, This man left Jerusalem to Jericho and fell among thieves, which stripped him. Now notice, of his raiment and wounded him. They could not wound him until they stripped him. How many know Jesus warned about losing our garments? Turn just a second to Revelation 16. Revelation 16, 15. Jesus again says, we saw the word thief earlier. Behold, I come as a thief. Blessed is he that watches and keeps his garments, lest he walk naked, lest he be a laid a sin Christian. And they see his shame. Now, back in Luke, here's a man, he fell among thieves. He's stripped. He's wounded. Notice, it says they departed, leaving him half dead. Verse 31, and by chance there came down a certain priest. Here's the ministry. That way. And when he saw him, what did he do? He passed on the other side. And then here comes the congregation, the Levite. And he came to the same place he saw him. He passed on the other side. But here comes the Good Samaritan. As he journeyed, he came where he was. How many know Jesus came where you were? Hallelujah. And when he saw him, he had compassion on him. You can see that in the prodigal son. Verse 34, and went to him, bound up his wounds, pouring in something. Pouring in the Holy Ghost and the joy of the Lord, which is wine. Can also represent the blood. And set him on his own beast and brought him to an inn. The inn's the local church. And took care of him. And on the morrow when he departed, he took out 2 pence and gave them to the host and said, take care of him. How many know many times in the Bible people work for a penny a day? And he gave him enough for 2 days here. Hallelujah. Notice it says here, he took out 2 pence, gave them to the who? The host. He had a lot of confidence in the host to help this man. You know who they are? The apostles, the prophets, the teachers, the shepherds, and the evangelists. And said to him, take care of him, and whatsoever thou spendest more, when I what? Come again. I'll repay you. And the Bible said, when he comes, his reward is with him. Hallelujah. We need to be clothed. We need to be placed in the will of God and stay there. Hallelujah. Till God moves us. Praise the Lord. Let's stand. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Let's just love the Lord a minute. Hallelujah. Lord, we just believe, Lord, you're bringing a people up, and we just love you, Lord. I believe there's a people hearing the voice of God that want to be changed, that want to be different, Lord, wants to be transformed by the power of the Holy Spirit. Lord God, it's not enough just to read these wonderful scriptures, but we must cry out for that deliverance, Lord. Deliver your people, Lord. Bring your people up higher, Lord. Put a desire in your people to cry out for you, Lord. Put a desire in our hearts to love you and worship you and desire you, Lord, with all of our heart. Lord God, in the name of Jesus, touch your people tonight. Lord, I pray tonight for all the ministers. I pray for Brother and Sister Tromley, Lord. I pray for Brother and Sister Thompson, Lord. I pray for Brother and Sister Bell and Brother and Sister Moody and Brother and Sister Miller. For Brother Bill Goodson, Lord. And myself and my wife and son, Lord, I pray for all the people of God in this camp. That, Lord, you'd continue to minister to them tomorrow, Lord. That, Lord, Jesus would be made alive to them tomorrow. That, Lord, they'll wake up in the morning with a joy in the heart, with a smile on the face, a spring in the step. Hallelujah. Meet with them, Lord God. Lord, we thank you for this next year that's coming. We thank you, Lord, for the blessings of God. We thank you, Lord, for the direction of the Holy Spirit in all of our lives, Lord. God, give us revelation and insight into that which is coming, Lord. But more than that, give us a revelation of Jesus, Lord. Let us have Him more than anybody and anything. Hallelujah. Oh, Lord, we bless you and we praise you tonight. We bless you, Lord. Thou art worthy to be loved. And praise. Now I'll pray for you. Come up here. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Where's the oil at? Back here. Reach your hands out to Sister Nina. She needs a touch from God tonight. How many believes God's going to touch her? Hallelujah. Father, I thank you tonight in the name of Jesus for touching Nina. I just rebuke this condition in her body.
I command this flu to go. You foul spirit, we command you in Jesus' name to take your hands off of her. We command the healing virtue of Jesus and health to flow into her body in Jesus' name. Lord, I pray the power of God to overshadow this woman tonight. Lord, I rebuke discouragement of any kind as well. And Lord, I ask the Holy Ghost to take away all discouragement in Jesus' name. By the power of His precious name, we thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Kandalabo Sida Bahanda Bokoya Bahaya Bosida Bahaya. The hand of the Lord is upon thee, my daughter. Yea, the Lord would say, be not one that would grope in the dark or on the ground, but be one that would lift your head into the heavens. Be thou one that would look unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of thy faith. For the Lord has started you on the journey, and the Lord's going to see you through as you obey Him. For surely His anointing is within you. His love is within you. I, the Lord, shall direct thy footsteps in this hour. So be not disheartened. Be not discouraged, saith the Lord, for I shall truly pour in the oil and the wine, for I do love you with a great love. Hallelujah. 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 Praise you, Jesus. Praise you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Brother Tromley, I want you to come up. I believe the Lord has a word for you. Would you come, Brother Tromley? Praise the Lord. I want you to reach your hands out to Brother Tromley. Will you do it? Hallelujah. How many appreciate his ministry? Amen. Hallelujah. Reach your hands out to him. My son, know that the hand of the Lord is upon thee. And know that the direction and the will of God is for thee, and thou hast known it, and thou shalt know it. And know that thy feet shall walk in this hour many places. And know that the Lord God is with thee. The enemy would set a trap on the left and on the right, but I have set ambushments against him, saith the Lord. And the hand of the Lord shall direct thee, and thou shalt see clearly, and thou shalt know clearly within of that which the Lord is going to do in the future. For surely there is new revelation coming to thee, my son, saith the Lord. Amen. Come on, let's give the Lord praise. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Amen, amen, amen. Praise the Lord. 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 Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. Well, how many's enjoyed today? It's been a great day. Praise the Lord. Amen. Brother Glenn, I guess I'm through. I don't have anything else. Can only move when the Lord directs. Oh, okay. Okay. Father God, in Jesus' name, we pray for everyone tonight, Lord, that you'd give us a good night's rest. And Father, minister to your people by the power of the Holy Spirit as we lay up on our beds tonight, Lord. Minister to husbands and wives and to children, Lord. Lord God, just help us to serve you better and to love you more. We ask it in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Amen. God bless you.
This is the end of this message. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.